Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today in this azim, unique, select day which is about to end, and an azim night is about to come. And such a night it is, such moments that possibly we may not get in our destiny if Allah wills until the next Ramadan. So valuable these hours and moments are that today is the night of Jummah, and not just the night of Jummah, but it is also Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. Both noors, lights, alhamdulillah, together, combined, and also the dhikr of Allah. And that also, dhikr of Allah, obviously there will be dhikr, but alhamdulillah, you'll get the effect of the dhikr, but the fazilat of the dhikr today, the virtue afterwards will not be attained. The nur that is today due to the rahmah of Ramadan, the barakah of Ramadan, most definitely we will not attain that afterwards. All the barakah that Allah Ta'ala has attached to tonight are especially for tonight. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu narrates this hadith, and he narrated this hadith. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, the meaning of which is that which house is the best house, the best home from amongst the homes of the Muslims, which home is the worst home from the homes, the houses of the Muslims. So it's very clear, simple statement, and the answer also, if we look with regards to today, then it's very simple. Every man can answer. Then which house is the best house? The best house will be that house in which we'll say is the best furniture, in which the best sofas are present, the best carpet, the best decoration, ornaments. Obviously, our thinking will give this answer, that that's the best house, a place in which there are more facilities, worldly facilities. And also on top of that, we say, and our thinking's like this, if it's a small house, it should be bigger. If it's bigger, it should be bigger than that. If it's a small garden, we need a bigger garden. The small kitchen, do the extension. Yes, we do this, isn't it, for our ease. So the answer, this is our answer. And we'll say the house which is the worst is the one which has got damp in it, which there's some broken things inside it, and the furniture's not that expensive, valuable. This is our basis and understanding. But Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their basis and criterion are very different, my friends. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was speaking on the criteria he wanted to explain, and this is being narrated by the Ashik Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And it's not just, he wasn't just the Ashik of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, any word of the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't let it go to waste. He didn't let it pass by. He was mumtaz from all the Sahaba for selecting the pearls of the Prophet ﷺ's speech. And he gathered many jewels and pearls that, alhamdulillah, are coming to us today. So he stated that the Prophet of Allah ﷺ, when he said that which house from the Muslims is the best house, a beautiful way of thinking for the Muslims. It's a very big hadith, this is. that the whole of Ramadan is sealed in this hadith. The objective of Ramadan is sealed in this hadith. Ramadan was given for this reason to us. This whole hadith, you will see the effect of Ramadan. For that reason, I'm presenting that, sharing the hadith with you, that let's understand Ramadan. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that home which he praised and defined, which is the best house from amongst the Muslims, a good home, can only be two. Based on the worldly thinking or the thinking with regards to the hereafter. Okay, so with regards to the world, let's leave that to the side. Let's think with regards to the akhirah. Hereafter, me and you could say in that home where there's more ibadah, in that home where there are more Qurans, in which home there's more recitation, alhamdulillah, where there's the nur of tahajjud, where the nur of anwarat of dhikr are present, where there's tilawat upon tilawat in the home, the signs of prostration are present, subhanallah. So we could say that that house is the best and the worst house is where nothing happens. This is also a way of thinking with regards to the akhirah hereafter. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say this. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi did not give this criteria, this definition. Listen, this is something to think about. Even this wasn't selected, this definition. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that thing for which purpose all these ibadat have been given. The result, the conclusion of all these ibadat, he didn't explain these specific ibadat that, oh, let's sit there and be hopeful and that in our house there's a lot of salah, in our house there's a lot of tilawah, there's a lot of dhikr, there's a lot of this action, that action, and our house is pure and the best, and etc. No, no. These ibadat, what we attain from ibadat, the real essence, that's the ibadat that Rasulullah is mentioning here. Come, let's look in our homes, brothers. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we are all Muslim. We're all Muslims, and yes, we should decorate a home, do extension, carpet, furniture, make it nice, put everything there. Islam does not prohibit us from doing that. Make it beautiful, make it look good. But the real beauty you should develop in the home, the real beauty. Yes, create that real being, the environment of living, that you see the dunya and also the effects of the beautiful effects of the akhirah there as well. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So which home is that? Which ibadah is it about which the Holy Prophet ﷺ is explaining to us? May Allah allow that our homes become like this as well. If Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to his definition and understanding what he is explaining, if our homes become like this, then wallahi, not one house, the whole society will improve and transform. The whole society will improve. Our feelings will improve. The effect of ibadah will improve. And the objective of life will change. And rahmah and mercy and sakin and satisfaction, peace will descend. Barakat, the nur, the light of barakat and blessings will come, will shower down. Like light, difficulties, problems, sorrows will all be left and go. No normal person is saying this. Imamul Anbiya, Rasulullah is explaining this to us. Not a normal small cure for some small issue. The Holy Prophet ﷺ's every statement, every discussion was beautiful, unique, had a beautiful effect. Say subhanallah. So in front of you, I'm not giving a speech. Rather, the reality is this. In these moments, we are speaking that what is going far from us, and when the final moment of something comes, then the whole enjoyment is in those final moments. You know the essence and the conclusion of Ramadan, that's why in this final ashra, in the final moments, Allah Ta'ala has instilled Laylatul Qadr, that come on, okay, as times pass, but when the final time comes, you know, like for example, you have a pot. Yes, and people say, quickly eat, but the people who have understanding say, no, I'll eat slowly. And the explanation is that at the bottom of the pot is the most tasty, masala, delicious food. Yes, so there's enjoyment remaining in Ramadan, alhamdulillah. There's enjoyment. Now the taste of Ramadan, you can really acquire it. So if today we bring ourselves onto that platform that Ramadan wants us to be, then we will attain the whole of Ramadan. We'll attain the whole of Ramadan, inshallah. The whole of Ramadan, we'll acquire it. So tell me, our homes will sparkle and glow. And not just this, that the dunya, with regards to, even if we don't have the worldly benefits in our home, the real thing is that close to Allah, our home, our house should be accepted and those who live in the house. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained his definition. Allah's Rasulullah's definition is the greatest. He said the best house, the best home from amongst the Muslims is what? What ibadah will you find there? Which sujood will you find there? What prostrations will you find there? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that there the best home of the Muslims is it that in which there's husni akhlaq, the best conduct, the best manners, the best husne saluk, the best way of treating each other. Say subhanAllah, this is a great ibadah, my friends. All the ibadat we do, after that, if we don't get this result, then all of those acts of worship are a waste. That's what we should understand. Namaz, salah was given to us for this purpose, so that we can become human beings. All ibadat, acts of worship, their objective that we need to attain is that our akhlaq improves so we can become human beings. The Hazrat Thanvi Sabram, they said that insan, the human being, should become a real genuine human being. Yes, the tasawwuf and tazkiyah, the essence of tazkiyah and tasawwuf, Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Hakim ul-Ummat Rahmatullah said that that's why we do all of this tazkiyah, dhikr, adhkar, etc. is so that the human being can become a real human being. Ula ibadah, the meaning of ibadah is that akhlaq comes into a human being. And the best example, Rasulullah, Allah's Prophet said in this same hadith, that the best house is which house? The best home is which home? Khairul buyuti, which house? Fi Muslim. Min sharri buyuti fi Muslimin. And buyuti fihi, that home in which? That such a home in which if there's an orphan, miskeen, a poor person in poverty, and along with him, good treatment is given to that person. Subhanallah. Kindness is given to that person. If in a house, in a home, there's an individual, a person present who's an orphan, obviously an orphan is an orphan. If there's a person who has no assistance, no help, miskeen, and there that person is treated, whatever you like, you will give to that person, just you will treat that person just like the way you would like to be treated. You love that person just like the way you'd like to be loved. Then Allah's Nabi said that that home, that house, compared to all of the other houses and homes, is the best home of the Muslims. And if Allah's Nabi has stated that's the best home, best house, then can there be any comparison to that best home? Because if in that house, this ibadah, husne suluk, good akhlaq, such high level, high grade akhlaq, conduct and manners is present there, that the orphan is treated in the best way, the yatim. And the worst house is that home wherein there's a person who's poor, yatim, orphan, or person in need, who needs help, and the treatment meted out is bad. Bad treatment. And this had, the Prophet has given us the sketch of the best home and the worst home. This is the definition. So let's see. Houses, families, homes are made in the best way. How? Through husni akhlaq. The high level akhlaq. The good akhlaq. Now here you could lay a question. This is with regards to an orphan, but in our house there's no orphan, no yatim. You could say this. This could be possible. If there's an orphan, then we will treat them nicely. MashaAllah, they're all our own. They're our family. So how can our home become the best? My brothers, the meaning is not this. That there has to be an orphan, a yatim in the home, in order to treat him the best and become the best. Rather, the real inclination here, and the hint here, and the Mufassireen, Muhaddithin have said here, the big message given to the Ma'ashara society, is that in your homes, if there's not an orphan, but there is in your city, there is in your vicinity, there is in your country, in your town. So if in that home, those people, if their thought process is that they look after those people, say subhanAllah. If in your home, your house, you look after those people, the yatims, you look after yatims, you look after muflis, you look after the poor people. When in your dastarkhwan you sit down to eat the name of Allah, when you have this, and if there's no yatim in your home, but there are yatim and orphans in other homes, in the second house, in the third house, or in the fourth home, there'll be such a person. In your area, locality, in your village, there'll be a person like that. In your country, there'll be a person like this, those people who are poor. So this is the crux of the matter. The message of the hadith is that the pain of the heart is there, pain in your home regarding your hearts. Do the thoughts come into your minds, into your hearts, that when you are partaking of the ni'mas of Allah, that Allah has given to you and you're benefiting from them, that's when you thought that apart from me, there are other people in the world, I'm eating, does he have food, I'm wearing clothes, do they have clothes to wear? I am sewing and making new clothes for Eid. Have they got clothes for Eid? So this feeling, recognition, if this is not developed inside a Muslim, he is an animal, he is an animal. This is the standard of Islam. This is what the gracious Prophet, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his life, blessed life, every turn of his life, every day of his life gave us an invitation. Not to you, think about the others. Don't think about yourself. Think about the strangers. When so much a situation develops inside a person that he eliminates from his mind and heart the selfishness, then if this doesn't happen, his ibadah will be a waste, his talawa will be a waste, it will be traditional, customary, it will be temporary, the Quran will be in front of him, he'll be reading the Quran, reciting the Quran, but the effect will not take place. Everything will remain to the level of his neck. The ibadah will just be hanging there in the balance. Close to Allah, there will be no value for his ibadah. The real value of his actions will be at that time when a person's akhlaq is improved. Say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Am I wrong or am I right? Tell me. Many people, you will have heard them saying, oh, I've seen people praying salah, I've seen people hajjis, I've seen people reciting Quran. We've seen many of those. Yes, no one's impressed by all these actions. Why? Because impressed is, human beings impressed, that I was hungry, my children were severely in need, and I had nothing to my name, I couldn't ask from anybody. In my home, my daughter, she had grown up, she was young, but nobody cared. Nobody cared. That, can I ask him as well? He's in need, I'm the rich man from this locality, I've come to this country, I earn so much. But that town that I've left behind, that village, I know in that town, that village, how many orphans there are. And how many people there are, good people, respectful people, who don't like asking others for help, but their homes, they're in need, in difficulty. When we sit down here, we fill up our stomachs, we fulfill our needs, we don't even imagine and think that I've left people like that behind me. Not even in the dream do we think about them. We don't care about them. We don't even think that we lived there once upon a time. Look at the way, we didn't know what a car was. We didn't know what a Mercedes was. We didn't know what these items were, detached houses, what they were. We ourselves were in that area, that town, that difficulty. Allah Ta'ala took me out of there and put me here. Allah Ta'ala could have sent somebody else instead of me here. This is the principle of life. Sometimes Allah gives money and tests a person. Sometimes Allah gives poverty to a person and tests him. Sometimes Allah gives deen and tests him. Sometimes Allah grabs the deen away from him and takes him. Allah gives old age and tests him. Sometimes Allah gives youth and test him. These are all tests, challenges for that time which is about to come, Sariul Hisab, which Allah Ta'ala will account for every single thing of our lives. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. We don't understand the Quran, we've not understood Salah, 5 times Salah after praying Salah, we've not understood the reality of Salah. 30 days, we couldn't understand the reality of these 30 days. We have not even, we think these 30 days, eat and be hungry for a little while, break the fast, keep the fast, break the fast, keep the fast, and wait for Eid. And these 30 days, we've not understood them. Maybe most of all, we've understood Ramadan is for reciting Quran, Ramadan is for doing this. Allah has never said, Allah said one point, that keep the fast, and in the end, Allah said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, giving you 30 days so that you can become real human beings in sun. How? تَتَّقُونَ, so you may become God-fearing, so that you can depart Ramadan with husni akhlaq, best akhlaq, so that pain of God for this should be in your heart. You should be changed from inside. You should have recognition and regard for others, for the human beings. That Ramadan is not for creating piety, making us wali Allah, so we sit in the corner, become a kutub, a ghawth. No, Allah's definition is this, that I'll make you the kutub on this condition, from amongst the people. Wali Allah's, I'll make from amongst the people. From amongst the people, I won't select a person from the corner of a masjid. This is not the religion of dervishness. This is not the religion of piety. This is the deen of regard for others. Say subhanAllah, akhlaq. Our master, the Prophet, would wander around in the streets, knock on the doors. He would have sacks of the people's needs on their shoulder and give to people, not sitting in the corner, tasbihat, become wali Allah, that, or do this and sit in the khanqah all day long and do Allahu for a little while and you'll become a kutab. That which religion are we speaking about? Religion says to us one message, that your heart should be attached to Allah and your hand physically should be in the world. Wander around in the streets, in the alleyways, do the work in the dunya, lift the burdens of the people, and every second that your hand should be in your work, occupation, busy in the world, but your heart should be attached to Allah. This is the definition of wali, friend. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala doesn't select people from the darkness, the wali, kutab, from isolation. Kutab is selected from the ma'ashara, from the society. He was pain and regarding his heart. How many people there will be now? Abdal, Ghawth, such people that you cannot recognize them. And they are those people, they are present in the world physically. And with regards to them, he said that when their hands raised, then ma'ashara, their society improves, transforms. The drought, we cannot prepare for the solution for. We cannot remove this waba, this disease. They are sat inside the world. Allah Ta'ala selected them. They can, through their actions, eliminate the diseases. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. Who are those people? That they, a human being, is being created for the pain in the heart. That is what the subhanAllah, this couplet I've just remembered. For the sake of the broken heart, the human being is being created. Otherwise, there's nothing lacking. The angels, there's nothing lacking with regards to ibadah. Oh, human being, can you compare to the angels? We can't even compare to shaitan, his ibadah. He lost out. He was jahil. Ignorant, he was an alim, he was a scholar, he had all the knowledge. Hazrat Thanvi, he had all of the qualities of knowledge. He was a big alim, big scholar, shaitan. He had lot of knowledge, but one thing he lacked, the pain in the heart. He was not the ashik, he wasn't the lover. Allah, he didn't have the heart. He became scared and nervous, anxious. He didn't accept, he didn't have akhlaq inside him. He didn't accept that in front of someone else, he said, oh, I'm bigger. I have got more of this. I'm more learned, because he didn't have akhlaq inside him. The person who doesn't have akhlaq, then he goes on that path on which shaitan travels. Shaitan, what detaches a person from shaitan? What path? The path of the heart, ishq, love, muhabbat. Subhanallah. All of the destinations and the levels and status, it is progressed through the heart. Say subhanallah. Who says this? That a person through this becomes kutub and ghaus, brothers, through society, living in society, in the world, a person becomes wise. If you don't have pain and regard for others in your heart, then that's not a heart, that's a rock, a stone. What ibadah is that person going to do? He stated, do duas not accepted? My duas not accepted. Do you want your dua to be accepted? Why do you go to other places? Go to the broken heart person and give him the food on time. I swear by Allah, when he raises the hands, that Allah fulfill his task, then his task will be fulfilled and completed. I remember a journey of Medina. Once, subhanAllah, I remember that. And I was stuck in a certain situation. I remember this suddenly. I always present my example to you. You are aware of my situation. I was on Umrah, I think. And it was Hajj. It was Hajj. Yes, it was Hajj. And during Hajj, there was a person, and he was weak with the eyesight. I remember his words now. So he went to Hajj, and his sight was weak. And he was there with me, and there was no one with him. And obviously every person on Hajj can be a bit selfish, thinking about himself. Oh, I've got luggage, I've got this, I want to do this. Khair, at that time, I had a little bit of health, I was young, a bit of strength physically. Telling you an old example. So when I saw that he's looking here and there, and I said, Ajeeb people here, that this person, they've just left him like this, sent him on Hajj on his own. So I couldn't see anyone else, and he was going for Hajj, getting ready. So Allah Ta'ala prepares and for everybody. SubhanAllah. When Allah calls to his home, then he prepares for that person. So when I saw him looking left and right, etc., then a unique thought came into me, and I went close to him. I said, why are you upset down? He said, who are you? I said, I gave my name. He said, oh, I've heard your name. Where are you going? I said, where are you going? He said, that's it. Then I've got success now. Take my luggage. Me and you will do Hajj together. SubhanAllah. I said, oh, I'm stuck here. What's happened here? that, oh, my thinking and everything I planned, I want to do ibadah, I had a program schedule, I'll spend this much time in haram, I'll do this and that. Oh, I've lost out now. I thought that before, whatever was inside me, those negative feelings were in there, that I wanted to take a shortcut out of that. So how can I get detached from him so that he's not with me? But how could this be? Allah Ta'ala had prepared, so I accepted him. Subhanallah. I said, okay, the Hajj plan has changed. I'm not going to do Hajj now, I'm going to enable him to do Hajj. I'm not going to do Hajj, I'm going to enable Hajj. Subhanallah. Look at Allah Ta'ala's style, say Subhanallah. For the sake of the broken heart, the painful heart, Allah's created the meaning. What ibadah are you going to go and do, Allah said. I'm giving you a man, your Hajj it would not be accepted. Your presence in Medina would not be accepted. Allah said in my kitab, it was written that I knew that you would not be accepted. That your deeds would have been a waste. For the sake of your acceptance of your Hajj, Allah said, I've prepared this mode, this medium, the means. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Allah said, accept my favor. Allah Ta'ala's every, whatever Allah Ta'ala ordains, accept as a favor. Allah makes me ill. Say, Allah, I'm grateful. Most definitely something was going to happen, that this sickness was going to save me. Subhanallah. That child has become ill, your daughter, your son, never complain. If something happens against your wishes and desires, never complain, rather have encouragement and strength. Allah, we are human beings and maybe we're drowning, but have yaqeen, believe that this is for my betterment. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Never that human being will fail in the world when he happily accepts Allah Ta'ala's decisions, when he embraces them and accepts them. He will never fail in the world. He will never lose out. He'll never lose out in the world, that individual. Subhanallah. Success will come to him. The flag, the standard of success will come to him. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. This is dunya, brothers, the world. There are tricks and there are issues, ups and downs. Allah Ta'ala makes somebody through this or that. We just start crying, sitting down. We start crying, no, ask Allah for sabr, for patience, endurance, and Allah's decisions. Allah's decisions, say with yaqeen that Allah, your decision is the best. My Mawla, this should have happened what you ordained. Every decision of yours is based on justice. It was of hadith. Every decision of yours is based on justice, which is coming down for my sake. That's been decided for me. Every instruction of yours, Allah Ta'ala, is correct, which is coming for me. That's the meaning of the hadith I'm explaining to you. This is the right position to be in, the right frame of mind and thinking to have. So this ibadah, I'd gone for Hajj. The whole of Ramadan, Allah said, I'm giving you Ramadan for this reason. لَعَلَكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ حُسْنِ أَخْلَاقِ. Come out of Ramadan with good akhlaq, excellent akhlaq. 30 days. And which with words? When this hadith, Rasulullah was saying this in Shaban, introducing Ramadan to us this month. He introduced this to us, didn't he? He introduced this month to us. Yes, kitab. Yes, you write there in the introduction, Allah's Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before this month came, he introduced this month for us, Subhanallah. Be ready for this month. Be ready. Be prepared. Don't go around here left and right. That person who takes a hadith, my job is this, that from the beginning, the first day I read this hadith, every day, that so I don't deviate, whatever Allah's Nabi has said, that keep on following that path, whatever Rasulullah has prescribed. So the second, third sentence of this hadith is this, which Allah's Nabi said, that I gave you Ramadan. Why? Allah Ta'ala said, why did I give you Ramadan? That there's no mention, emphasis on ibadah, and only one ibadah has been mentioned here, and I'll explain that to you. So Allah's Nabi Sam in that hadith, the second, third sentence that we don't read, this hadith, the wise number that we given, Allah's Nabi Sam said that this month is the month for having regard for others, respecting others, loving others, assisting others. That in this month, that those hard hearts you make, must make them soft, so that people, you can be included in their pain. Subhanallah, say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So that's what's been explained in this hadith, the introduction to Ramadan, that your hard hearts, you must make them soft. Soften them, that's why this month has been given to you. For this ibadah, grab hold of this ibadah, this worship. And every ibadah has different roots, different paths. So grab the path of this ibadah, the root of this ibadah. Don't take what I'm saying bad, negative, Ramadan is passed. How many people have worked out on this hadith? That I should assist others, have regard for others, solve the issues of others. You at least have the niyyah. Niyyah is a great state, a condition that all actions are made due to intention. A person whose niyyah is correct, Allah will give him the reward. Subhanallah. Allah's Nabi said that the person's going from Bani Israel, he was walking or traveling, and his heart was soft and tender, he had regard, love for others, he had done the ibadah, which causes the heart to become soft. Allah's Nabi said this. So his heart was soft, and he's telling this to his sahaba, I'm presenting the meaning of this hadith to you. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, didn't he? To his sahaba, to his companions, have raham, raham, mercy, mercy, be kind to people. Rasulullah, the master of the true world, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said, be kind to people through husn akhlaq. Have mercy. So the sahaba said, O Prophet of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that this is the meaning of the hadith. That we are those who have mercy. We are those who have mercy. Listen to the answer. What was the answer? The Prophet said that we have rahmah, mercy, kindness to all those who are with us. But kindness should be done to those who are strangers to you. Yes, with our relative, family, we always think about them, alhamdulillah. But we should only think that if only had given to that person, how better it would have been. Then listen to this event. There was a person, he said he was walking, traveling, and he had no money, no wealth. We think that we can only help someone through money, wealth. But it's whatever resources you have that can give you success. Rasulullah said, give this much sadqa, this much money, I don't have money, I can give up. Allah Ta'ala has given solution for this as well. If you don't have money or wealth, Allah Ta'ala wants to give the reward. So that person, when he was walking, he saw that there was a mound of earth, a huge mound of earth. This is about thinking. When a person's thinking improves, his heart improves, then the direction of life improves. Say subhanallah. So the direction of life improves. You see, a mound of earth, 1,000 people walk past here, but his thinking had changed, his style of life had changed. In his heart there was rahm, kindness, generosity. Not for himself, but for the dunya, kindness had come. So he saw that mound of earth, the soil, he stood there. Beautiful waqia event. When he saw that soil, the earth, he looked at it carefully. After that, he said, all actions according to intention. First hadith of Sahih Bukhari, he selected. Just like the final hadith is of dhikr, selected. And both are in between. Bukhari has been sealed, all the hadith. First is on intention, last is dhikr. If you want to understand Bukhari, first correct your niyyah, and if you want to get the thawab from Bukhari, then do dhikr in abundance. And in between, all the hadith of Bukhari will be inserted so you can understand the subject. That's why say Bukhari, the friends of Allah understand it in a high way, in a great way, because they've done tazkiyah, they've purified themselves, they understand Sahih Bukhari, because Sahih Bukhari was presented, Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi, the way he compiled it, the walis of Allah have understood it. Sahih Bukhari, you don't do wudu first. First they wash their hearts, so they can understand Sahih Bukhari. Aha. So when you clean your heart and open Sahih Bukhari, the all actions according to intentions, then his niyyah, if it's correct, niyyah is that your batin, your soul should be pak and pure. Say subhanallah. Yes, when you do wudu in that way, and then you set forth, then see the enjoyment, the color, the effect that Sahih Bukhari will give to you. Khair, this is something on the side. So as I was saying, that he saw the earth there, the soil, and his life had improved and changed. So what was that fire, that burning in his heart, Ramadan had improved. An example I'm giving to you, that when we change, then these thoughts should come. So he saw that mound of earth, he said, aha. And he said, he didn't have to do this. He said, Allah, that this mound of earth, this soil, this dirt here, if this dirt, this soil, if you'd made it a different thing here, do you understand? If you'd made, for example, a mound of wheat and corn, if this mound of soil and dirt, you made it a mound of corn and wheat, then people, I know poor people, that I would go and distribute this to the poor people. Wallah, subhanallah. Allah says, actions according to intentions. So if your heart becomes clean and pure, then nice thoughts come out. He says, I have bad dreams, I have bad hallucinations. For this reason, because the heart is in a bad way. The heart is not correct, my brothers. So when he felt this sigh and thought, then Allah announced to the angels, it doesn't take long. You don't have to phone someone and book a ticket and look for a reference and intercession to get to Allah. Allah says, if your heart is clean, whatever you think in the heart immediately arrives to me, it comes to me. Subhanallah. What is the connection there between that person and Allah, my brothers? The connection Allah has given in the heart, Allah Ta'ala has already laid the wires, the connection. So he thought, immediately arrived, immediately an announcement was made. That my servant, give him the good news, that what you have just thought about, I have given that thawab to you. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala has given to us this month for the pain in the heart, regard in the heart. Learn the regard for others. Not learn to eat bread and chapatis in this month, and not to fry and eat pakoras in this month, and don't be in that game of breaking the fast, opening the fast, keeping the fast, breaking the fast. Always think in your heart that how much pain and regard have I got for others in my heart? What can I give to that person? How can I help that person? How can I assist that person? Every orphan, think that that orphan is living in my home. Every person, think that this person, he is higher and better for me. That word, that incident that left me answer, that person was with me in Hajj, and Hajj started, the days of Hajj had started, and he was with me every second. My salah was not what I planned, not what I want to do. Whatever he did, I had to be with him. And where was I at that time? That my life, that I had big desires. What happened then? That in that way I was stood in front of the Rawda Mubarak. It was the evening time after Asr. And that he had a need. I said, okay, no problem. I won't go to Ziyarah. Don't worry. I'm with you. I'm assisting you. That don't be upset. Don't be down. I won't leave you. If you're not happy, I won't leave you. Subhanallah. So he got up, that individual. And he's arrived to Allah now. Maybe if only he could hear what I was saying, and he'd do dua for me there as well. He got up. And in my heart, there was no feeling. And the enjoyment is this, that when you devote yourself fully, when you help yourself, devote yourself fully. Don't think that I'll help him, he'll give me thanks and gratitude. Don't think like that. And most definitely, Allah Ta'ala, if he puts rahmah and mercy into a person's heart, then he eliminates the desire for recognition, reward. Person couldn't even imagine that person gives me thank you. Rather, when a thank you is given, he's upset. What are you saying this for? Why are you saying this? This is the understanding. That why you give me the repayment of my favor? What have I done for you? No. What are you saying? That you are giving me the favor. You are helping me. Subhanallah. This is what we should think. That this is how a heart of a person changes and how he becomes at that time. Ha. Yes. So at that time he got up. He puts his hands up. He said in his dialect, he didn't know Arabic. He was illiterate. His salah was simple. He raised his hands and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in your darbar I am stood, in your court. This person who is with me stood here. As long as he is, whatever he has in his heart, if you don't fulfill it, then my hajj will not even be accepted. Oh, and he started crying. I said, that what does he know about my desires and feelings? I said to you, that Allah Ta'ala instilled into the heart, that no, I'm not going to do hajj, I'm going to assist him in doing the hajj. That I will make your hajj accepted. I have total yaqeen in Allah, rahmah, Allah, salam and karam, that my forgiven will be due to that hajj. All my life long, this broken down ibadah, Ramadan, etc., put it to one side. But I'm on that hope of that khidmat, that service Allah Ta'ala enable me to do for that person if my hajj is accepted. And a person, if his hajj is accepted, then he will succeed. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So anyway, so a person, if he says that my dua is not accepted, if you want your dua to be accepted, go, don't go to any special place, go and knock on the door of the poor person's house and ask him that time when he has no money in his pocket, put money into his pocket, the heart that will come out of his heart and mouth, I swear by Allah, no one can stop that. That with speed, his dua will arrive to the court of Allah. And until Allah Ta'ala doesn't accept his dua, that dua will not go back from the court of Allah. But Allah's glory is such, His glory is such that the dua doesn't even get there. Allah says, dua, get back. I've heard from in advance. I've accepted his request and I've heard his request. Subhanallah. This is what Ramadan has come to teach us. This is the heart that it has come to develop and generate. Not, and close your doors, close the lights, do dua, shadu ala la ilaha illallah, this has come, that has come. This is not the objective, my brothers, of Ramadan. For the sake of the broken heart, Ramadan has been created. Ramadan has come to develop the heart so we can have regard and assist those who are broken hearted. Don't worry about your home. Go to that person who has a need in Laylatul Qadr. Open your treasure chest. Take out the money from the bank accounts that you've gathered and accumulated. Subhanallah. There are many people, very poor indeed. Don't just give to those you've selected. Such people in the earth, you will see human beings, they will be shocked and amazed who is poor, who's living in poverty. That we have to give to these people as well. Allah's Nabi said, Rahm isn't this, Rahm is this. Mercy is this, kindness for human beings, Subhanallah. Rahmatul Alameen, he was mercy to the universe and he gave us such teaching that don't just be merciful to the Muslims, to the Mu'mineen, to pious people give sadaqah, to good people give sadaqah, to the people of the Quran. No, to the human beings give sadaqah. Who are those? He is Rahman. Allah is Rahman and Rahim as well. Subhanallah. He gives food to everyone. He does, when he gives food and rizq and sustenance, and when he gives rain, he doesn't just see the rain go and rain down where prostration is happening, and rain down where people are reading Quran, and rain down where such people are. The believers, Allah says, go, O rain, and rain down in every place in the world. Go and rain also there where there are people who haven't got iman, who worship idols, and also rizq distribute there as well. This is the differentiation. There's no differentiation close to Allah. The mu'mineen, their situation, that He has changed and improved all of the Asma'ul Husna, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the qualities coming to that person. In his heart, there's the shan, the glory. This hadith that the Sufiya present, that Allah Ta'ala, a unique tafsir is coming to my heart, a point I'd like to share with you. I'd like to share that. Shall I tell you? Aha. So this is just coming to my heart right now. Yes, so the heart, Allah Ta'ala has put the message in the heart now. Allah says that I am in the heart of the mu'min and nowhere else will you find me. So until today I think, Allah says that you'll find me in the heart of the mu'min. Today I understood, how is Allah Ta'ala found? Allah says my safat of Rahman and Rahim, these qualities, characteristics, I allow that to come into that person's heart, so then he understands who is his Rabb. In that heart where you find Rahmah, mercy, the Sifat, then consider Allah Ta'ala can be found in the heart of that person. That's the meaning of what Allah Ta'ala is saying, that I can be found in the heart of the mu'min. Rahmah, mercy, make your heart soft, my brothers. Ramadan's teaching this to us, inviting us through this. Make your heart soft and tender. Don't just worry about your relatives. Think about human beings. He is this religion, this deen. No, when it comes to giving, then become so generous. Just like the master of the two worlds, Salam, stated in Ramadan, he said, become so sakhi, he was so generous in Ramadan, just like the rains and the winds were coming, so openly, he was generous. And we go on our ibadah, sujood, alhamdulillah, nothing wrong with that. Ibadah, but look in your pockets, emphasize on the pockets. Those ibadats attain for which purpose Allah has given us Ramadan. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. No asking for charity money. I'm making the heart soft and tender. Don't think that I'm saying to you give charity. I'm not requesting charity from you. No. Seek, look out for the, I swear by Allah. Imagine this. When your heart is hard, the person's miser, stingy. He's a miser for who? Even for his family, housefolk. My father, give me £5. I ain't got £5. Yeah? Do you understand Punjabi? No. Gujarati, you understand? He says, give me £5, dad, father. I feel like I want to eat this. Go. Take away, Kata. No, take away, you're going to eat. Go, eat chapatis. He won't give it to you. He won't give it to his son. Yes, he doesn't have that capability. Pity. And if someone says to him, son says, Abaji, today you had a, do you want to eat pizza? Shall I bring it to you? Yeah, buy it from your own money and bring it to me, the pizza. Yes, so the bakhil, the stingy person, doesn't even give to his own. How will he give to the strangers? And the person who is sakhi, generous, subhanallah. Look at this. I'm telling you the enjoyment here. That when a person in this state, the miser, the stingy person, the bukhil. But when he adopts that path, just like when generosity comes, I'll tell you that path that will develop generosity and kindness, through which sakhawat comes, generosity comes. His heart becomes tender, soft. I swear by Allah, most of all enjoyment, lazat he will attain, most of all attainment, enjoyment he'll get, that people, he sees them, they ask, and he distributes to them. Subhanallah. More than this, I say that there's no greater enjoyment than this, no greater taste than this. Ask the person who gives. Ask the person who gives. So much enjoyment and taste. Ask as Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. Ask the mothers of the believers, Aisha Sadiqa, the money wouldn't even remain within hours. She'd get money, within hours the money would go, and there'd be no food to eat. And the servants would say, "The at least keep something to break fast." She said, "Oh, you should have told me before, why are you telling me now?" Subhanallah, they had forgotten their own selves, their own people. So this is what Ramadan's come for. We're about to die. The stamps have been applied. Corona's come. And your name's list on the list. Your janazah is going to take place. Okay. The mask won't help you. This won't help you. Ramadan only will help you. Now you'll say that Ramadan's past. It's gone. So what does Allah Ta'ala said? Ramadan is gone, but at least you have the niyyah, the intention. Allah Ta'ala, at that time I didn't have the niyyah. At least I make the niyyah today on this fast of Laylatul Qadr. I didn't understand what Ramadan was for, what I need to do. Today I make the niyyah for Ramadan. Allah make me a heart full of mercy. Allah make me such that I spend and I get the enjoyment. And I collect, then I have enmity with that money that I accumulate and save. May not be that I keep on saving, realize that the notes have changed. We start crying, how do I use this currency? Oh, I suppress the notes, and the notes have been reprinted. How much shall I count now? It's gone, I can't use it, it's gone to waste. Subhanallah. Such a time comes as well in a person's life, isn't it? Yes, the bank doesn't even accept those notes then, when they're reprinted and they change. So isn't it best that instill and save and deposit into the bank of Allah? All notes run in the bank of Allah, subhanAllah. And that note will be changed well. Doesn't matter how old the note is, you can take it out. Allahu Akbar. So what we realize that Ramadan, my brothers, it's come to give us pain in the heart, to teach us the mercy and kindness for others. It's come to improve our hearts, change our hearts. Allah's Nabi said, that is the best home in which the orphans, they are assisted. The miskeen, the poor people, their call is heard. And the people who have a need, a desperation, their desperation is heard. And the poor people, their homes are decorated. And their stomachs are empty. The food and the bread is put into their stomachs. That is the best house of Rasulullah. That's the best house, your brother's home. Yes, and if Allah's Nabi said, the house of goodness. And if Rasulullah said it, that is the house of goodness. Look at the barakat and the rahmah Allah will put there, and the fadl and the grace and the mercy. Can you imagine such a home in which that house which looks after the yateem and the gareeb, the poor people, Allah, no sickness will come to the house, no distress will come to the house, no sadness will come to us, no poverty will come to us. Every moment, the angels, they fill those places. Just like the ocean, it is traveling, the waves travel. You can take some water out, but the wave will come back and replace the water. You take water out, the wave will replace the water. And the Sakhi's home is like that. In Ramadan, if he's improved his heart, that if he spent millions, if he spent money, the angels replace that money, they replace that wealth. Whatever spent, they replace that wealth. Do you understand the meaning of Ramadan? So Ramadan is giving us the cure, this hard heart. Only one thing can change it. The hard heart, the example is given by the Quran, even the rock can be softened, but the hard heart cannot be softened. The water can gush forth from the rock, the hard place, but the hard heart cannot be improved. What shall we do to make it soft? Rasulullah has also told us his ibadah in Ramadan. To soften the heart, he's announced it. To make the heart tender. He said in abundance, after explaining everything at the end of the hadith, Rasulullah said in the Shaban, before introducing Ramadan, after giving us the ibadah, he said that will give you the success in Ramadan, that all the specialities and qualities of Ramadan will come to your heart. So Rasulullah, when he presented Ramadan in this hadith and explained the great ibadah of Ramadan, which is to help people, assist people, he gave us the ibadah also that will make the heart soft and tender. After explaining everything in the conclusion, the essence of the hadith, Rasulullah said, remember in Ramadan, within Ramadan, to attain Ramadan, Allah's Nabi said there are four actions, four special unique characteristics, and if you adopt those, al-arba khasa, subhanallah, he said that, subhanallah, that khaslatain tarduna bihim rabbakum wa khaslatain la ghani bikum anhuma. That if you implement those, subhanallah, tarduna bihuma rabbakum, you will attain the speciality of Ramadan. The stamp of Ramadan will come to you. This is the month to please Allah. Subhanallah. Arba. Subhanallah. So Rasulullah said, what are the two? Wakhsalatin la ghanama bikum anhuma. What are those things that will make your heart soft? Subhanallah. Tarduna bihuma rabbakum. That abundance of dhikrullah and abundance of asking for forgiveness. This is the dhikr of Allah for which we are seated here. This is the cure also. The biggest cure of the heart, Rasulullah explained, is kathir dhikr, bundles of dhikr. If there's anything that makes the heart soft and tender, it's the remembrance of Allah. Otherwise, there's no other action in the world that can soften the heart. For which Allah Ta'ala has given a great reward. I say that there's no greater reward for any other ibadah than this. For dhikr, there's such a great reward in the Quran. I speak from my passion. I'm not giving a fatwa. Respected scholars say, don't give me a fatwa. I speak from my love and passion. That this is the biggest reward I see. That I understand. The biggest reward, what is that reward? Wasbir nafsaka. The Quran is saying. Who is the Quran saying to? To his Habib. Wasbir nafsaka. Wasbir nafsaka. Malladina yadun rabbahum. that, O my Mahbub, my beloved, sit down with them and do the actions with them. To who is this being said? To the Imam al-Anbiya. What a great reward. Sit down with them. Be seated with them. Give them your company and give them the honor. And give them the honor and the high rank. With who? Yaduna Rabbahum. Those who call out to your Lord. At which time? In the morning time he wakes up and their call and their remembrance. And in the evening when the time passes and it's with my remembrance. Subhanallah. Morning and evening, those who do dhikr of Allah, look at their status. Allah Ta'ala instructs them, Mahbub, sit with them. Give them the honor of your company. Rasulullah said them when this verse was revealed to me, I was surprised that what is this? What is this? Those people in my ummah that are being told that go and sit with them. Say subhanallah. Allah's Nabi was looking, he went out of his home in Fazal Amal, this hadith, we'll read it. He said, I was looking, I came out looking, that which people should I look for them? Let me look for them. That Allah is telling me, go and sit with them. He said, eventually there must be some action that they're doing. Allah selected them. He said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that in the corner, in the side, I saw a few people, my companions sat down, and what was their condition? What was their action? He explained their halat, their condition, that somebody's beard was lengthened, their hair was disheveled, and their clothes were, they had no clothes to wear, they had just one lungi that they had worn. Wearing dhoti, lungi is sunnah of my Habib, of our Nabi, of our Prophet, these colorful clothes that we wear. If you have love for Rasulullah, then sometimes come to Salah and wear and pray the lungi, the izhar, and pray your Salah with that. This is the special libas of Rasulullah. Two libas are special. One is kameez, one is the lungi, and the third, the cloak, the sheet. So this is the libas of Rasulullah. Subhanallah. So at least sometimes wear this, don this, come to Allah's home and do sajda and do one Jummah wearing these clothes. At least we're ashamed if we're ashamed. Subhanallah. Allah's Habib, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sunnah, we're ashamed. Then what intercession will we get in the hereafter? Who do we want to get intercession from? Tell me. At least do this, pray Jummah with this attire and how much enjoyment you'll get. Subhanallah. Do this, try this. White kameez and white tahmat, a white lungi, and on your head amama, and on your shoulder the sheet, the cloak or rumal, and then do sajda of Jummah and have this niyah. That all of this I'm doing not for showing off, but to revive the sunnah of your Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to revive the sunnah of your Sahaba. They used to wear one lungi. So he stated, Rasulullah said, I was looking for somebody, I was looking for them, and there were those people that said they just had worn, he was wearing one lungi. What was the hukam? The order, who's the head of the Nabi, is to go and sit with them. So what I realized, the honor that was given, subhanallah. The honor, the glory of Islam. The glory of Islam is that Islam doesn't look at buildings and assets, right? It looks at the heart, doesn't matter how the body looks. Subhanallah, Rasulullah, he arrived there, he saw them. What were they doing? What was the action they were doing? The action, dhikrullah, that Jama'ah was doing, sitting down doing dhikrullah. Allah's Nabi sat down, suddenly he raised his hands and did dua, that Allah, I'm grateful to you, then my ummah, you have created such people who are in Bolton, Masjid Zakariya, morning and evening, do dhikr Allah, who will house dhikr Allah, say subhanallah. Subhanallah, we should do ziyarah of those people. We should ask those people to do dua for them, because Rasulullah did dua for them, and their honor is such a great honor, that such dhikr they do, they sit down morning and evening, their glory and status is such, their glory and status is such, their honor is such, that just like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat amongst them, Allahu Akbar, that's the honor of such a group of people. Imagine the respect and the honor of those who do dhikr of Allah. So have I said anything wrong from this hadith? This is the verse, the hadith, this is the meaning, the translation. People the same. And Allah's Nabi did the same dua. And if he did this dua till Qiyamah, such people Allah will create, through which Allah's Nabi will see them and be happy. And he said, then my ummah, this is their glory, their honor. They are such people that morning and evening they do dhikr of Allah. So should we do dhikr, my friends? Shouldn't we? Does dhikr take place here or not? So why don't you sit down? Why don't you join in? So their glory, their honor, the people who do dhikr of Allah become such, so high, that this is the glory, that respect, Allah's Nabi, the honor they were given, that Rasulullah went and sat among such people. So in Masjid Zikri, so through dhikr a person's heart is improved. Such a great reward Allah has given for this action. My brothers, do dhikr. Ramadan, do dhikr kathir. So that our heart transforms, improves. The condition of our heart improves. Without this, rahmah, kindness will not come to the heart. Allah's Nabi has explained everything to us about Ramadan. That we need to, through Ramadan, have regard, learn love and pain for others. We can't do this until our heart is not changed. The heart cannot change until we don't do the dhikr of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite Durood Sharif.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina mursaleen. Shafi'il muslimin. Taha wa yasin al-habib al-ameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina maulana Muhammadin nabil ummi. Yazwaji mahatul mu'min. Bazur jati wa ilibati. Ya Rahman ar-Rahim. Apne fazl kum se hamari gunahon ko maaf farma. Ya Allah hamari khataon ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, tum sab ki bakhshish farma. Ya Allah, tum sab ki bakhshish farma. Ya Allah, ye Ramzan hamara qubool farma. Ya Allah, tooti phooti baaton ko qubool farma. Ya Allah, tum pe rehm farma. Ya Allah, tumhe Lailatul Qadr naseeb farma. Ae mere Maula, Lailatul Qadr naseeb farma. Ya Allah, hame Lailatul Qadr naseeb farma. Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah, tu humse razi ho ja. 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 میرے مولا اس رمضان کا مقصد ہمیں عطا فرما. یا اللہ جس مقصد کے لیے تمہیں رمضان دے میرے مولا وہ تمام صفات ہمارے پیدا فرما. یا اللہ وہ تمام صفات ہمارے پیدا فرما. یا اللہ یہ بہت قیمتی سرمایہ ہے میرے مولا, ہمیں معلوم نہیں اگلا رمضان ہمیں نصیب ہو نہ ہو میرے مولا, اس کو ضائع ہونے سے بچا لے یا کریم. یا اللہ اس کو ضائع ہونے سے بچا لے, یا اپنا فضل فرما, ہمارے دلوں کو نرم فرما میرے مولا. یا اللہ یا اللہ تو نے اس رمضان کو دیا تقوی کے لیے میرے مولا, ہمیں متقی بنا دے, پرہیزگار بنا دے. یا اللہ جب سے رمضان سے گزریں تو ہماری زندگیاں بدل جائیں, ہمارے دل بدل جائیں. یا کریم تو ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما, ہمارے اساتذہ مشائخ کرام کے درجاتوں کو بلند فرما. یا اللہ تو ہم پہ رحم فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد و آلہ و صحبہ اجمعین. رحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون. والسلام علی المرسلین. والحمد للہ.